We are holding on Ayin Aleph from a days about 15 lines from the bottom line. We're going to go to Sim. Okay, so we're going to start today with a geography lesson. Ad Heichan Hi Bavel. We discussed the last couple of days that Bavel is pure as far as Yuchsin, it's Kesoilus and Kiyah. So you've got to define what are the borders of Bavel for that. How far does it extend? So we're going to be discussing in all the different directions. Now, we have to talk a little bit of background about the actual geography of the area. Bavel is basically between two big rivers, the Chidekel and the Prot, the Tigris and the Euphrates, they're called in English. What direction do they flow in? Well, nowadays we can look at an atlas and find out. In Rashi's and Tosfos' times, they didn't have atlases, or at least not very good ones. However, so Rashi and Tosfos had to deduce it based on various other Gemaras, based on various Sukkim and Gemaras and whatever.
Away from the mountains to the sea.
Of course, but which direction are the mountains in, north or south? Rashi,
you know that
it says who? Mountains can be in the south, rivers can flow south to north. The Nile, for example, flows south to north.
Where?
The Nile, for example, flows south to north.
Yeah, because the mountains are in the south.
The point is, where are the mountains for this purpose? So Rashi explains as follows. We know, first of all, we talked about the other day that Eretz Yisrael is the highest country, at least in that part of the world. Second of all, we know that there's a Gemara that mentions, there's a Gemara in Shabbos, it's also brought in a couple of other places in Shas, that says when it rains in Eretz Yisrael, it says we, Amiroyim and Bavel, are able to tell that because the water level in the Pros rises. Now, we also know Eretz Yisrael is south, southwest, whatever, above. So putting all that together, Rashi deduces, it must be that the Pros flows from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, meaning that it flows from south to north. So Eretz Yisrael is in the south, the Pros and also the Chidekel, because they flow in the same direction, they're parallel, run south to north.
The Pros doesn't come from Eretz Yisrael, the Pros comes from Turkey.
Again, if you look at that on an atlas, but Rashi didn't have an atlas. Rashi is going based on what he can deduce. So he says, yes, lumen mikan, we can, lafia inyan nira, Rashi starts by saying that based on the context, it seems as follows. So that's how Rashi comes out looking, that the Chidekel and Pros run from south to north. And therefore, when the Gemara is going to be talking about things
because when it rains,
the water level on the Pros rises. The fact of the matter is the Gemara does say that. So how do we explain that? We'll get to it in just a second. Therefore, what it means is, according to Rashi, whenever throughout this next piece of Gemara, when it's going to be talking about anything upstream, it means southward, and when we talk about downstream, it means northward. Mm-hmm. Now, Tosfos takes issue with all of that. Tosfos points out, first of all, there's reason to say that Gan Eden, which is where these rivers flow from in the first place, is in the north. So therefore, what are you telling me? They come from Eretz Yisrael, which is in the south. What about you telling me this business about when it rains in Eretz Yisrael, you can tell by the water level on the cross? Tosfos says what it means is, when it rains in Eretz Yisrael, the water level rises so high that the river backs up. But yes, it does flow from north to south.
When it rains, the
water level in the river gets so high that it backs up. It starts flowing in the other direction. And therefore, you can tell, and therefore again. Now, all of this is, if you look at a present-day map, you'll find that the rivers, the two rivers, the Chidekel and the Pros, flow more or less southeast, and they eventually merge together. That's the Gemara we're going to see from the Gemara soon. Well, wait, so what do we mean then that when it rains in Eretz Yisrael, you can tell by the Pros? Well, Eretz Yisrael is over here. The Pros has a big bend that comes relatively close to Eretz Yisrael. In fact, I mean, that's why when the Pasuk every time mentions that Anahar Agol and the Har Pros, right, that the ideal borders of Eretz Yisrael extend all the way to the Pros. Doesn't mean that the ideal borders of Eretz Yisrael extend all the way here, across Jordan and half of Iraq. It means that they extend here through parts of Syria until that bend in the Pros. But besides that, also, the border would be somewhere, the border of ideal Eretz Yisrael would be somewhere like there.
Right.
Would be something like this, let's say, from this bend in the Pros, let's say, down to over here, on an angle. So it would include a substantial part of Syria and most, if not all, of Lebanon. The point is also, though, even if we think of Eretz Yisrael in the more narrower sense, in the more or less like modern Israel, still, when it rains in Eretz Yisrael, it probably rains over here also. Weather systems are pretty big. So yes, when it rains over here, then it flows into the Pros, therefore the river level rises. Okay, so that would be then what that Gemara means in terms of modern geography.
That
the flows go from north to south, well, northwest to southeast, the Prus in particular is close enough to Eretz Yisrael that when it rains in Eretz Yisrael, it does make the water level in the Prus rise higher, and therefore even downstream here in Babel, in the gray area, they can tell that it rains in Eretz Yisrael. Because again, when it rains in Eretz Yisrael, it probably rains in Syria as well afterwards, something like that afterwards. Okay, so now, so again, Atechan hi Babel, how far does Babel extend? First, we're going to talk about how far it extends eastward. Rav Amad Nahar
Abba. We said it's between the two.
It's more or less between the two rivers, but not exactly. Not exactly between. It can extend a little bit on both sides. Here's the here's the Chizetel,
nice.
the curvy line over here. The one that has a Pamya and Avna along it is the Chizetel. The Pras is over here. But the area can extend a little bit beyond it also. It's not like the only Jewish settlement is dotted between the two rivers. So Rav Amad Nahar Azek or Shmuel Amad Nahar Yuan. So Rav says, Rav and Shmuel both say it extends a little bit east of the Chidetel. And Nahar Azek, and Nahar Yuan are two rivers or canals or whatever that ran more or less parallel to the Chidetel, east of it.
East of it.
Not too far east, but a little bit.
East of
the Chidetel. So more or less it would be a little more or less the end of how Yuan, for example, would be on the border, more or less on the border between Iraq and Iran. Nahar Azek would be somewhere between there and the Chidetel. That'll show it on this map. I should mention, I mean, these maps are not terribly accurate, as we'll see, but at least it gives you an idea. Right. Okay. That's eastward. What about upstream on the Chidetel? Diglas is the Aramaic name for the Chidetel. How far does it go? So again, upstream. Rashi would say that upstream over here means southward. Tosfos would say it means northward. And geographically, it would also be northward.
Right.
So how far upstream on the Diglas? Rav Amar Bagda Avna. Rav says until two cities, Bagda and Avna, which I guess were on two sides of the river. It might be, but actually it seems that not necessarily. It seems that Bagda and Avna were pretty close to each other, and they may have been, well, here on these maps, they show them far north of Baghdad. Baghdad is somewhere about here. So they're showing them far, far north of there. Many other people say they're not anywhere near that far north. They're somewhere in the general vicinity of Baghdad. They're not necessarily that far there. That's Rav. Shmuel Amad Mushkini. Shmuel says it goes further. It goes until Mushkini. Question is, well, Mushkini b'chlal? Are you telling me that Mushkini is not included? Well, I'm going to pchi ba'aba amah Shmuel. Mushkini hareiki goyla liyuchdin. Mushkini is just like the Gola. Gola meaning primarily from Pumbedisa, which is the center of Jewish life in Babel, as far as Yuchdin.
Where is Pumbedisa?
Pumbedisa would be round about here, let's say. So if we're saying, again, on these maps, they're showing Mushkini very, very far north, almost in Armenia. Again, Lavdavka was really that far north. But whatever it is, wherever it was exactly, whether it was
Nahardar
was also along the, Pras, a little bit south of Pumbedisa, maybe like 10 months, maybe like 10 or 20 miles south of it. Again, this map, I should have also maybe, they in the same book, they have a more detailed map of the Jewish community in Babel. Maybe I should have printed it out also. I didn't think of it because I figured primarily the talk. No, this is not from Art Scroll. This is actually from a book on the geography of Babel. I forget the name of the author is Eshel. I don't remember the title of the book exactly. Anyway, okay. So are you telling me that Mushkini is not included? We see that Ruchia Ba'aba says in the name of Shmuel that Mushkini is included. Ella, we have to say he means on Mushkini or Mushkini B'chlal. He means to include Mushkini as well. That is also included, according to Shmuel, in the area of Good Yud. Next, Lefachis B'diglas Adhecha. How about downstream on the Chidetel? How far does it go? Again, according to Rashi, downstream would be north, and according to Tosfos and the maps that we have, it would be south. Omer Rav Shmuel. So Rav Shmuel there.
Same Shmuel?
The Pasha's not. It's sound Rav Shmuel. It's usually called, called Shmuel. Maybe it's supposed to be Rav Ushmuel that they both agree. Maybe it's Rav Shmuel or somebody else. I don't know. Okay. Ad Apamya Tatar. It goes all the way until lower Apamya. So the Gemara says, what's Apamya? Is the name of the city. Actually, Apamya was a very common. It turns out that Apamya was a very common name among places that the Syrian Greeks, the whole dynasty that included the various Antiochuses, Seleucuses, and whatever. Apparently, Apamya was the name of some member of their family, so they named cities all over their empire after that or something. Anyway, so Tarti Apamya Havian. So the Gemara says there are two Apamyas in that area. Chode Elisa and Chode Tatiyosa. One further up than the other, further up in the sense of on higher ground than the other. chodok sher of a chodok psula. One of them is kosher, the other one is pasul. Uben chodok l'chodok parsa. Now there are parsa apart. Parsa is 2.5-3 miles. V'kokapti adadi. Now the people in these two cities are very makbid not to have any nothing to do with each other. V'afilim nuro l'moshli adadi. They won't even borrow fire from each other because that way they want to make sure. Given that the people of one Apamia know their kosher and the ones from the other one know that they're kosher, both sides know we want to make sure not to get mixed up. So therefore, they make sure to keep an absolute embargo between the two places. And which one is which? The Simonah, the Psalter. What's your simon to know which one is the kosher one? Hadamishtaya Mishnis, the one that speaks the dialect of Mishon. The Mishon we talked about yesterday is an area, the southern area of Iraq and maybe part of Kuwait. In those days, it was considered a separate country. We learned yesterday that it had Mamzer and other Psula Yisus or whatever in there. We'll talk more about that today. So the Apamia, the one where they speak a dialect, where the dialect and the accent that they have, is like Mishon, shows that they're related to the people of Mishon, therefore they're possible. Next, upstream on the
Persian could be like Persian.
No, Mishon is not Persian. That's what I'm saying. Mishon nowadays is part of Iraq. Today it's part of Iraq, maybe parts of it are in Kuwait. It's more or less the area like south near the Persian Gulf. Next, so what about upstream on the Prof? How far does the area of Kosher Yuxin go? Rav Amrad Akra the Tobakni. The Rav says it goes until the Akra means fort, so until the fort of Tobakni. Or Shmuel Amrad Gishra de Beit Pros. Shmuel says it goes until the bridge of Pros, which means Rashi says Shmuel is adding to the area that Rav is saying. Rav is saying it goes up to a certain amount till Akra the Tobakni, which is shown on Tobakni, which is shown on the map over here. Shmuel is adding a few more miles until Beit Pros, further upstream. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Adma about the Gizma, and Rabbi Yochanan says until the crossing of Gizma. Now, where is the crossing of Gizma relative to the other one? Marshal and Marshal discuss that. The Marshal wants to say that it is actually even further north, even further upstream, rather, because he calls it south in terms of the way that Rashi does, but even further upstream than even Beit Pros, than even the place that Shmuel mentioned. And then he has to explain the next piece of Gemara, which we'll learn the next piece of Gemara, and then we'll talk about how he explains it. Marsha disagrees with that. Marsha says that no, this Mount Baruch de Gizma is downstream of the other places, and therefore, as we'll see, Abaye had a problem with Rav and Shmuel's opinion. He didn't have a problem with Rabbi Yochanan's opinion. So according to Marsha, it fits very well because Rabbi Yochanan is saying a lesser amount than the other two, whereas Rabbi Yochanan is saying until Mount Baruch de Gizma. So again, according to Marshal, Ma'abarat of Gizma is beyond the other two. So you have, upstream, let's say, upstream. So you walk upstream along the cross. You'll get to Akrad and Tobakni. Next, you'll get to Gishur de Beit Pros. And then you'll get to Ma'abarat of Gizma. And therefore, Rabbi Yochanan is the one extending it the most. Whereas according to Marshal, it's the other way around. You have Zav extending until here. Shmuel is going further until here. Rabbi Yochanan is pulling it back and saying, no, not even as far as Rav goes. So the Gemara says, incidentally, by the way, it's worth noting, Rabbi Yochanan lived his whole life in Eretz Yisrael. He never even visited the Kabbalah, as far as we know. He still knows. They had the Kabbalah in Eretz Yisrael. They knew the facts. You know, this whole Gemara that we're talking about over here, by the way, is brought in the Yerushalmi as well. The Yerushalmi brings it up into Yerushalmi, where there was a few minor variations, but basically, yeah, this was part of when they're learning Torah Shabbat, and they know, even in Eretz Yisrael, that the people above all have Yichus, have better Yichus than the ones above all, then that they have to figure out exactly, they have to know the exact order. It's important. La la.
So they should miss.
Yeah. Well, not so they shouldn't miss, but so that they should know to where they need to ask and where they don't. So the Gemara says, Layat Abaya, the Itamer of Yosef Adarab. Abaya, or some say of Yosef, used to curse out anybody who relies on this opinion of Rav. Where Rav is saying that the border goes all the way until after Tobakni, Abaya or Rav Yosef are arguing it doesn't go anywhere near that far north. So what, Abaya Rav like, Abaya Shmuel like? So what is he only complaining about Rav's opinion, why not Shmuel? Shmuel's extending it even further out. Yeah, it means he disagrees, he criticizes anybody who follows Rav's opinion. How much more so, Shmuel? Shmuel goes even further. Now, what happens with Rabbi Yochanan? So Marshall, who learns that Rabbi Yochanan goes even further north, has to explain why Abai doesn't have a problem with Rabbi Yochanan. And he gives a couple of possibilities. Among them are maybe that Abai figured, you know what, look, we're in Babel. Who's going to rely on Rabbi Yochanan from Eretz Yisrael anyway? We know that nobody's going to rely on him anyway, so we don't have to worry about it. He says maybe Abai didn't know of Rabbi Yochanan's opinion at the time, but Marshall says that can't be. We see that Rabbi Yochanan and Abai himself talk about it later. Could be also he talks about that maybe the vote is that Rabbi Yochanan is saying relative to the people in Eretz Yisrael, you can go as far north as that, as far upstream as Ma'abar to the Gizma. Because after all, we in Eretz Yisrael are lesser Yichus anyhow, so we can get away with marrying the people from all the way up to Ma'abar to the Gizma without worrying about their Yichus. But Bnei Babel have to be more careful. So therefore, Abaye would be criticizing people who rely on the opinions of Rav or Shmuel, or maybe even of Rabbi Yochanan, even, you know, because people in Babel should be more careful.
Why don't they ask someone from Babel?
Because you have to figure out where exactly the Yochsin extends to.
That's okay. Why can't they ask people?
Because you ask the person. You know, not everybody's going to claim that we have good Yochsin. And after all, we saw yesterday, I mean, even in the places that we're talking about, there were enclaves where there were people of Silla Yochsin. Right. So we're talking about basically how far can you say there's a Chazaka. Anyway, Marshall disagrees with that whole concept of Marshall. He says very simply, this Rabbi Yochanan's place, Ma'abar to the Gizma, is south of the two places where Rav and Shmuel mentioned. So therefore, Abai didn't have a problem with Rabbi Yochanan's opinion. He only had a problem with the opinions of Rav and Shmuel.
Because it's further north.
Because they're further upstream, yes, and therefore they include more area. Actually, in the Fabsino Gemara, they bring from somebody who wants to claim the other way around, that maybe the geographical markers are the other way around. So the problem is that Abaya and Rabbi Yosef would be saying the way that Rav or Shmuel are saying it, you're leaving out from Gedissa, where we live. How you talking? You're leaving us out of the Yichus area. So, okay, anyway. Okay, the very same, or another possibility, La'olam ad Rav Lais ad Shmuel Lais. Yeah, well, that's what it sounds like. That's why Marshall learns it that way. But that's why Marshall learns it that way. Marshall disagrees. Yeah. Okay, the very same, or another possibility, you could say La'olam ad Rav Lais ad Shmuel lo Lais. No, you could say that Abaye criticized anybody who follows Rav's opinion. He didn't criticize Shmuel's opinion. Shmuel's opinion is further north, further upstream. The answer is not. The Gishra debate crosses that Toy Havakoi. Originally, this river, this bridge of Beit Pros used to be further downstream than Akra the Tobakni. So in Shmuel's time, that's where it was. But Idnahu Dalyur Parsoi. Nowadays, by Abaya's time, the Persians had moved it. They tore it down from its original place and rebuilt it further upstream. So therefore, you could say that when Shmuel said his opinion, he tackled them to say less of an area than Rav. He was more machmir than Rav. Therefore, Abaya knew that, and therefore he didn't have a problem with Shmuel's opinion. Now, when 100 years later, in Abaya's time, when people say Gishra, the Beit Pros, they're thinking that it means further upstream, but it's really not. Okay. Now, the Gemara has not talked about the Gemara is not talking about how far downstream on the Pros. We said how far upstream on the Chidekel and how far downstream on it. We said upstream to Bagdav Avner or Mushkini, downstream to Lapanya. We said upstream on the Pros. We have the three opinions. What about downstream on the Pros? Rashi says they didn't have to mention that because the Pros and the Chidekel merge together towards the end, which they do. You can see on the map over here. Towards the end in southern Iraq, they merge together. They're together as one river for 100 or so miles. Which is also, by the way, you can see this map is no good really because by rights the gray area has to extend at least until that connection, because otherwise the Gemara would have to be asking about downstream on the Pros.
Okay. And the time it was like this, but it's like today.
It was more or less like today. I mean, the river channels have changed somewhat, but they're basically more or less the same. You know, if you were to zoom in, you know, to look at it a street level view or something, yeah, you'd see differences. Next, Amalei Abaye Lo Rabbi Yosef. Okay, so now we've talked about east of Babel. We've talked north and south direction. What about west? Lahog Yisra de Pros at Hecha. On this side of the Pros, on the west side of the Pros, that is, how far does the good area extend? Amalei, so Rabbi Yosef tells him, my Daitach, what are you thinking to ask? Mishum Biram, you're thinking to ask because of the city of Biram, which is on the west side of the Pros. Somewhere near Pupadissa. I don't know exactly where. Somewhere like here, let's say, yeah. Again, it's not shown on this map, so I don't know exactly. You should know, Miyachid, Pupadissa, and Biram Nasvi, the people of Yichus from Pupadissa regularly marry wives from Biram. So you can be sure that Biram is included in the area of Yosin. It's completely kosher, yeah. So, Amar Papa, k'machloikus liyuchsin kach machloikus le'inim gittin. The same machloikus that we have in this whole discussion as far as how far the area of yuchsin extends is the same machloikus as far as gittin. We learned at the beginning of the Masechta Gittin and sporadically throughout the Masechta over there that when you bring a get from the din of hayam, you have to be able to declare b'fanin nichtam b'fanin nechtam because the reason we talked about over there, because the batei dinim aren't so expert, or because you need edim to be mekayim it or whatever. We said that Bavel is an exception. Bavel is like Eretz Yisrael in that regard. So Rav Papa is saying the same exact borders that we're talking about, what's considered Bavel as far as Yuchsin, is the same borders as far as within those areas. You don't have to say B'fan and Nechtem, B'fan and Nechtem, but outside of them you do.
Today, what would you consider the outside of Eretz Yisrael, the area of the world that's the most knowledgeable in Torah, and is the most Talmidic?
I don't know, but it doesn't matter. As far as the Dinim, B'fan and Nechtem, B'fan and Nechtem, that applies everywhere.
Yeah, right.
Okay, so I don't know. For Rabbi Yosef, I'm a machloikas for Yuchsin. Rabbi Yosef says, no, this whole machloikas is only as far as Yuchsin. Aval the Gittin, give it a hakalat, abratinyon of the Gishra. When it comes to Gittin, everybody would agree that the borders of Bavel go until the second willow swamp by the bridge. Apparently, that was a well-known landmark. Abra means a swamp that where willows grow. Tinyana, the second one. The Gishra by the bridge. Apparently, that was some kind of landmark that they knew.
Yeah.
Okay. Next, Omi Rami Bar Abba. Within Bavel itself, the best area, as far as Yuchsin, Tchelta Rashi explains in Meloshin Kolil, Meloshin like the most beautiful area of Bavel, as far as the absolute top quality Yuchsin, is the area called Chovil Yam. And within that, Shunya, the Gubya, Tchelta the Chovil Yam. And within that, Shunya and Gubya are the best of are the best within Chovil Yam itself. Ravina, I'm after Tzura. Ravina says it's a third area. You're also Tzura is the best of the best. Tanya Nami Hachi, Chonin Ben Penchosayim, Chavo Yama, Tchel to the Bavo, Shunya Vigobu Tzura, Tchel to the Chavo Yama. So we see that it adds Tzura also like Ravina said. Omer Rapapa, however, Rapapa says, Ve'idna i'arigu kusoi. You should know, nowadays, they're not just Yuchasim anymore. Nowadays, there are Kusim mixed in among them. There are kusim mixed in among them. Meaning in other words, that kusim have intermarried among them. So now they're not such kosher. However, the Gemara says, "Valoihi." That's not actually what happened. It's a huda bal minayu. What happened is he wanted a wife from them, valoyavolay, and they didn't give him. Who's the he? Rashi says it means that a certain kusi once went to one of these places to ask for somebody for a woman to marry him. They turned him down, of course, because they wanted to preserve their yuchsin. However, Rashi seems to say that because of that, rumors started spreading. People mistakenly assumed that they had accepted, and therefore that now kusim are mixed in among them. Tosfos puts it a little differently. This kusi was so mad at them for turning him down that he himself went and falsely spread the rumor that there are kusim mixed in among them. And then both Rashi and Tosfos bring a third possibility that was a pshat that was floating around in their time, which is that the hu is Rav Papa. That a papa wanted to marry a woman from that area, and they turned him down, and therefore he spread these rumors about the Kusim. Both Rashi and Tosfos say, never mind that. Chas v'shalom to say that a tzaddik like a papa would falsely spread rumors like that. And actually, there's an interesting thing I saw. There's a Gemara in Shabbos. Well, that too. There's a Gemara in Shabbos where a papa says on it. The Gemara talks about over there about the greatness of a person who some people are choshed him, and it's not true. So Rav Papa says on himself, they once were kosher to me, and it wasn't true. What is Rav Papa talking about? One explanation, they were talking about this. This explanation, this false explanation that Rashi and Tosfos are both saying, never mind, very possibly that explanation was floating around in Rav Papa's times already, and therefore he says, you should know, people were suspecting me when I said these places that were kosher mixed in. People suspected me that I had, that I did it, and that's wrong, and say it's not. Hahu Gavra de Amalahu, there was a certain man who came, he wanted to marry a Miuchesis. So he comes to the Chachamim and he tells them, Anomin Shut Mishut. I'm from Shut Mishut, it's the name of a place. Okay, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Nachman. No, I did that one. I did that. Oh, you're right. My Chovo Yama. What is the area of Chovo Yama? Thank you. Amar Papa Zuprast de Bursi. It means the area of Pras near the city of Bursi. There was a man who once came to Chachamim in Bavel, and so maybe whatever, and said, I'm from Shut Mishut. Name of a place. Okay, is he kosher b'yuchsin or not? Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Nachman Raglov, so Rabbi Yitzchak Nachman stood up and said, Shut Mishut, Okay, we're good. Shuk Mishuk is between the rivers.
Right.
Okay. Right. So what if it's between the rivers? And therefore what? It means this area, Beinan Haharetz, is the equivalent of the Goyla, again, Goyla meaning Kupadissa, the center of Jewish life and Bavel, as far as Yuchzin. So yes, you can accept that this guy from Shut Mishut is a Miyuchzin, is Miyuchzin, yes. What we mean, by the way, by Beinan Haharetz, Rashi says it means Beinan Haharetz between the Chidekel and the Pras, which is what we've been talking about all this time. Tosfos says that no, of course not. We already know that Bein Anaharis is good. The Gemara has no reason to ask if it's Bein Anaharis, so what? Obviously, Tosfos says Bein Anaharis must be some other area, between some other rivers. But the point is that Rabbi Yitzchak Nachfa is telling us that other area, Bein Anaharis, is also considered near us. Okay. The Heicha Kaima, where exactly is this place located, the Shrut Mishut? Amar Rabbi Yechanan, Mi'ihi Dekira Ula'el. So Rabbi Yechanan says, it's upstream from Ihi Dekira. Ihi Dekira is the name of a city along the Pras. You can find it nowadays if you look at a map of Iraq, there's a city and then along the middle of the Pras over there called Hit. That's it. That's the Ihi Dekira. Most scholars don't ever think that that's the Ihi Dekira of the Gemara's time. It's interesting. Kira actually means Hit, and it's called nowadays, yeah. Kira actually in Aramaic, Kira means wax, and this is an area where they have a lot of Iraq oil wells and things like that over there. So very likely they call it the Kira, like Ihi of the wax, because like they produce wax and petroleum and who knows what else over there. Yeah.
They didn't use it
the way we use it nowadays for powering cars and machinery and whatnot. But they used it for some purposes. That where it came out of the ground naturally. They didn't have to drill for it or whatever. Yeah. Okay, the question is, even Rabbi Yochanan himself said that the border of Bavel going upstream on the Pras only goes until Ma'abarta de Gizma, and that's not as far upstream as Ihi Dekira.
Where is it?
Whatever it is, exactly. I mean, I don't know. Again, you know, but let's assume, for example, you know, if you go with this map, Gizma is over here.
Right.
Ihi Dekira then would be someplace over here. Right. In reality, it's not. In reality, it's someplace over here, but again, this map isn't terribly accurate. And Shut Mishut, we're saying, is beyond Ihi Dekira. So if you're telling me that the good Yuchzin only go until Gizma, so Ma'abarta to Gizma, then what are you talking about? Shut Mishut being good? Omer Abaye Rutsua Nafka. Abaye says yes, but there's a strip of land that extends past Gizma. When Rabbi Yochanan says it goes till Ma'abarta to Gizma, doesn't mean it stops completely cut off there. From there, you have a narrow strip of land that bypasses Ihi Dekira and that whole area and continues on up until Shut Mishut. So therefore, yes, Shut Mishut is good. Next. Now, all this time, we've been talking about Bavel per se. Now, what about areas near Bavel? Amr of Ikabav and Amr of Hanano Amr Rav, Chilozen, Nihavand, Hareka, Goyla, Luyuchzin. Chilozen and Nihavand are names of, Rashi says Chilozen is the name of a river, and Nihavand would be the name of a city. It's actually a known city nowadays in Iran. It's a city called Nehavand, I think it's called, and in Farsi or something. You can find it if you look on a map of Iran, you'll find
Nehavand.
Nehavand, yeah. So that's Kareka Goyla Luyuchzin. That is, just, again, just like the Goyla, even though it's outside the borders that we talked about, it's just as good as the Goyla, just as good as Kompadisa as far as Yuchzin. However, Amalei Abaya, when Rabbi Ikaba Oven said this, Abaya said to the Chachamim, Loi Tepsisu, don't pay any attention to what he's saying. Yuvama, he did not follow Lehotham. What happened was, Rabbi Ikaba Oven has a Yuvama. He has his brother lived over there. He was married to a woman over there. Now his brother died. He has new Yivum. So therefore, Rabbi Ikaba Oven is claiming that the place is Miyuchaz, so he can go and marry her. Lav Dafka, you should accept it. Amalei, sort of Ikaba Oven tells them, Otu Didihi, what do you think? This is something I made up myself? Reb Hanano, I'm just quoting it in the name of Reb Hanano. Go ask him. Ozul Shailu Reb Hanano. Sure enough, they went and asked Reb Hanano. Amalei said, he's right. Hachi Amarav, Chilozin, Na'avan, Arei, Kegoylo, Liyuchzin. But yes, those places, confirm that it's Miyuchzin. However, the Gemara says, Pligad Reb Abba Bakahana. This statement saying that in the area of Nihavan, Chilozin and Nihavan, is good Yuchzin, that disagrees with something that Rabbi Abba Bakahana says. The Amr of Abba Bakahana, he says, my dichtiv, what does it mean when the Pasuk describes where Sancheirev took the Aseres HaShavatim into Golos? The Pasuk says, Vayanchem v'chalach u'v'chover, nahar gozan v'orei modai, those are four places. So what are they in modern terms? Chalach is a chilozin, what the Pasuk calls chalach is what we nowadays in the Gemara call chilozin, which again is the name of the river that Rashi just mentioned. Chavur zu hadayev. Chavur is hadayev, which is an area nowadays in like Armenia or Western Turkey or something. That general area is hadayev. Hadayevin, it's called in history. It's famous in Jewish history actually because Shulmi Hamalka and Munbaz Hamalach, that whole royal family who became Gerim, were the kings in that area.
Armenia is in the Caucasus.
Yes, okay, so maybe not Armenia, maybe it's someplace in really northern Iraq, whatever it is. It's somewhere in that general area of the world. Anyway, that's it. Nahau Gozen zu Ginzak. Nahau Gozen is the area that we in the time of the Gemara called Ginzak, someplace in Syria, I think. Orei Modai zu Chamdan v'chabirtea, and when it says the cities of Modai, means Chamdan, or Hamadan, it's called in modern day map, and the cities near it, v'amri lo zu Nahavan v'chabirtea, others say it's Nahavan, the one that we were just talking about, and the nearby cities. My chavrisah, what do we mean the nearby cities? Amashmo, krach mushki chuski verumki. And Amar Rav Yechanan v'cholam lifto. And Rav Yechanan says that the point of mentioning all these places, the point of identifying all these places that says the Shvatim journey to Golos, is to say that all the people from those places are possible. Because Rashi explains that what happens, that says the Shvatim continued like this when they were in Eretz Yisrael, they were worshipping Avodah Zarah and doing various other Avodahs. When they went into Golos, they assimilated among the Goyim. They allowed Goyim to marry their daughters, and therefore you have a whole mixture over there. So we've had several times in the last few days, Machlokes, the Goy has relations to the Bat Yisrael, is the child of Mamzer or not. If we say the Mamzer, then for sure they're Psulim. Even if not, it's considered Pgumim. The Pgam, it's not really good yet. There's other explanations that Mephoshim give also. One of them is that these people of the Aseret HaShvatim were so assimilated among the Goyim that maybe even they didn't think of themselves as Jews b'chlal. They didn't worry about dinim of gittin v'kiddushin. And, for example, they didn't care about whether they marry their relatives or not. And therefore, So that's what we're saying. It was among the places we're mentioning is Nahavan. So what are we saying? So here we just said that we're saying Rav Hananel is confirming that Rav said that Nihavan has very good yuchsin. On the other hand, Rav Abba Bar Kahana says on the contrary, Nihavan is one of the places that has really bad yuchsin.
And Nihavan is?
Someplace in Iran. Like I say, if you look it up on a map, you'll find that.
It's huge.
It's just someplace in western Iran. It's a city. The name of the city. Nihavan, yeah, you can find it on a map, yeah. Okay, so we have a Macholikus, basically. Now, one of the places that Shmuel mentioned in this connection, he mentioned the Chabrei Seir, the cities near Nihavan that have people from the Aseret HaShvatim. He mentioned one of the places he mentioned is Mushki. So, Kasakadadach Mushki Hainu Mushkini. Now, at this point, the Gemara is assuming that Mushki and Mushkini are two names for the same place, which in that case, we have a contradiction. Well, Amar Rav Chiya Ba'Oven Amar Shmuel, didn't we say at the beginning of the Sugya that Shmuel said Mushkini Hareik Goylo Yosin, that on the contrary, Mushkini is good as far as Yosin? So obviously, Ela Mushki Lachud or Mushkini Lachud. So necessarily, you have to say they are two different places. Well, Mushki and Mushkini. They have similar names, but they're different places. Since we're talking about some of these places, including we mentioned Hadyev, and we mentioned Chilazin and Hadyev, as places where the Aseret HaShvatim went, so the Gemara digresses a minute to talk about something else about those places. In Sefer Daniel, you have a number of visions that Daniel saw of what's going to be with the four empires that are going to rule over the Jewish people and rule over the more or less the whole world one after another until Mashiach comes. You have the Babylonians, you have Paras and Madai, you have the Greek Empire, and then the various successive states of it, and then you have the Roman Empire. And we're still considered to be in Golos Edom nowadays, because even though there's no Roman Empire anymore, we still the society, the culture that we live in is still very, very deeply influenced by the Romans. There's no other empire that ever took over the entire area that they conquered. The Arabs came close, but they never quite made it. So we're still
they're on the way.
Well, fine, but there is an opinion. There are Sadia Goyen, Ibn Ezra, a couple of other Rishonim want to say that actually the third of the fourth kingdom is a combination of the Greeks and the Romans. Basically, they were very similar culturally. And the fourth one is the Arabs, the Muslims. Most other Rishonim and Achronim don't learn that way, though. Anyway, so one of these visions that Daniel saw, he saw several different animals representing these different empires. And the Pasuk says, the Pasuk mentions that he saw an animal representing the empire of Paras Amadai. It had three ribs in its mouth between its teeth. Now, what do you mean? Bapuma, it sounds, Rashi says, means that it's inside its mouth. Bein shina means that it's between its teeth. It's about, it's outside. So what is it? And this refers to these three areas, Chiloza and Hadia, the two of them that we just mentioned, and Tzivin, which is a famous, important city in the north of Bava, reporting in the Seder was from there, among others. Sometimes the Persian Empire would swallow them up, and sometimes it would spit them out, meaning sometimes it ruled over them, and sometimes they would break away and become independent or be conquered by the Romans or what have you. So it was like going back and forth between Puma in its mouth, meaning part of its empire, and Bein Shina, like where it's about to be spit out.
Jews always mixed in.
Well, there's that too, yeah.
What?
Yeah, the Jews always mixed in, and yeah, okay. Speaking of those psukim, in Daniel's visions, so earlier in that pasuk, it starts by describing this animal that he saw representing the Persians. He says, I saw another animal, similar to a bear. Tony Rav Yosef, so Rav Yosef taught in a Braisa, Eluk Parsiim, that the bear represents the Persians. Sha'ochlin v'shoisin kadov, they eat and drink like bears, they're very gluttonous. Umas Sobolim kadov, they're fat like bears. Umas Gablin Seir kadov, they grow their hair long like bears. Ve'en lehem menucha kadov, and then they're restless like bears. It actually says, what do you mean by restless? Like, it actually says that like even you have a bear is chained up in the zoo or whatever. It'll pace around. It'll pace round and round its place. It'll never sit still. So therefore, he's saying all these things are a very appropriate description for the Persian. Marsha adds, by the way, there's a Gemara in Yuma that mentions a whole showdown in a whole fight in Shemayim between the Malachim over there, between Gabriel on behalf of Jewish people and the Malach of the Persians and whatever. And the Gemara calls the Malach of the Persians their Jubil, Malach and Dov, because since the nation are like bears, therefore their Malach up above is also like a bear.
They don't call their children
Dov. No, I guess, well, maybe they called their children by the Persian word for a bear, I don't know. There is, now that you mention it, though, the Rebbe did talk about a lot of times in connection with we have three Nesviim in our history as Chassidim who had the name Dov. You have the Mizrachi Magid, Dov Bear, the Mitzel Rebbe, author of Dov Bear, and then the Rebbe Shabbat, Shalom Dov Bear. So a number of times the Rebbe talked about that in connection with this. Like you have the idea is, like among other things, you have the idea, like a bear, we're saying, is such a gluttonous, such a gushim dicker creature, but yet, you know, shalom, like especially with the Rebbe Shabbat, talk about the idea, like you make a shalom between that and then between the Gashmias and the Ruchnias to take the Gashmias and use it for Ruchniistic purposes, among others. Also the idea that it's restless and that's how it should be, restless in his avodah, etc.
Read that, but in Ruchnias.
Yeah. So the Gemara tells, in that connection, Rav Ami, Ki Ava Chazi, Paras HaDerache, whenever Rav Ami would see a Persian riding, Omer Hainu Druba Naida, he would say, there goes a wandering bear. Omer Le Rebbe Le Levi. So in this connection, Rebbe one time says to Levi, who was a Talmud, Hireni Parsi, and he says, show me the Parsi, not show me as like a picture or whatever, but like either it means, okay, so Rashi says it means give me a mashal, give me a metaphor that by which I can understand what the Persians are like. It's an interesting thing. The Eis Yosef on Ein Yaakov has an interesting vote on it.
Are there 10 degrees of chutzpah? They have 9. And
no, that wasn't the Persians. That was that the Persians have ten degrees of power, which is what actually 9 degrees rather of power. Yeah. Anyway, right. So Eis Yosef on Ein Yaakov is an interesting verse. He says we find in a few places in the Gemara that Levi was kind of Rebbe's court jester, sort of like his entertainer. Rebbe was a very serious person, and he had a very hard time with things. He's leading the whole Jewish people. He had the famous thing in Baba Metzia that he had his toothaches and his gallstones and whatever else. So Levi used to try to cheer him up. So what Rebbe is telling Levi is, put on a one-man play for me. Show me, dress up for me, and show me what the Persians are like. Amalei, so he says, they're like the soldiers of David HaMelech. I mean, they're mighty, they're powerful, they're disciplined. Yeah. Next, he says, Hareini Chaborim. Next to that, Rebbe tells him, show me the Chaborim. So we learned about Chaborim in various places. We have them in Gittin, we have them in Shabbos, and a couple of other places. They were a nation related to, or they're related to the Persians. Maybe Rashi in various places talks about they're the same people. Tosafot says they're not the same people based on our Gemara over here, whatever. They were a subgroup within the Persian Empire who were very fanatical about their religion. We talked about in Gittin that they were fanatical about that they worship fire, for example, and therefore that on days of on their chagas they wouldn't allow lit candles in anybody's houses. Whatever. They were a rough type. Yeah. So sure, explain to me what they're like. He says, "Doymin l'malachei chabala." They're like destructive malachim. Next, Rebbe tells him, "Harini Yishmaelim." Show me what the Yishmaelim, the Arabs, are like. He says, "Doymin l'seirim shabeit." He says, "Doymin l'seirim shabeit akite." They're like the shadim that hang out in the bathroom, which means Rashi says they always wear black, so they're like the shadim. And actually, Marsha says another detail in it also. The shadim that hang out in the bathrooms of necessity are not very clean creatures. They don't care about cleanliness. Neither do these guys. And finally, he says, "Hareini Tamid Chachamim Shabbavel." Show me, describe to me, or play act for me, or whatever, what the Tamid Chachamim are like in Babel. He says, "Doymim Malachei Asharis." They're like the Malachei Asharis in the sense that Rashi says they're dressed in white, they're wrapped up in talisim like the Malachei Asharis. And again, there's different other explanations what exactly the comparison to Malachei Asharis is. Ben Yehoyada says, among other things, he says one kind of derech halotze, he says like as a Goliath Vertel, they wore robes with very wide sleeves. So therefore, they look like Malachim with wings.
Rebbe was
in Eretz Yisrael. So he didn't see any of these things firsthand, so therefore he needed Levi. Levi, I think, was originally from Babel, but besides that, we find in places in Shas who traveled to Babel sometimes, so he was able to...
Why did they have to ask about
Yishmael?
They wanted to throw
him out of Babel. Rebbe still wanted to know. I mean, I guess at that time already there were a lot of Yishmaelim in Babel. I don't know. Next. He had a nicha nafsha de Rebbe. When Rebbe was about to pass away, he had all of a sudden, Rashi says, nizuka nevuah b'kumei. All of a sudden, he had a nevuah fell into his mouth. He had like a sudden burst of Ruach HaKodesh. Omar, he said like this, "Humanya ikka b'Bavel." There's a city in Bavel called Humanya. You should know, kula aminoyim. All the people in that city are descended from Amon. Which, first of all, the Gemara will tell us on the base. Well, it means that they're possible. It means, yes, it does mean if any of them are ever Magayu, you have to be careful not to marry, that none of the men are allowed to intermarry, because I'm only going to marry, etc. Also, on the base, we'll see that it means that he's trying to say that they're troublemakers to the Jewish people, basically. Amun is one of the, like, of old time, are troublemakers to the Jewish people. Masgariye, to the Babel, he says, there's a place called Masgariye in Babel. Kula de Mamzeri. You should know all the people there are Mamzeri. Birka Ikubabal, the place in Babel called Birka. Shnei Achim Yesh, there are two brothers in that city, Shemachlitum Nishefem Zelazer, who exchange their wives with each other, which means that their children are Mamzeir. So all of this is, watch out, don't make sure to stay away from the people of those places. Yeah, we're talking about Yidden. Birsa de Satya Ikubabal. Next, he says there's a place called Birsa de Satya in Babel, and Satya, Rashi points out, is Meloshin, like Meloshin Sota. They remove themselves. They went off the derech away from the Eishter. What happened? Hayom Soto Me'achar Mokim. Today they left. Today they turned away from the Eishter. What happened? The Akfi Peira B'Kavri B'Shapsa. One Shabbos, the pond over there overflowed with fish. There were a lot of extra fish in the pond. But also with Soto B'Shu B'Shapsa, and they went and started catching some of the fish on Shabbos. The Shamtinu Rav Achi B'Rav Yoshia. So Rav Achi B'Rav Yoshia, who was the Rav in that area, put him in Cherem. The Ishtamud, and they ended up shmadim zich. So that's Hayom Soro Me'achre HaMokom, that now they abandon the Eidrish completely by shmadim zich. By the way, the Terumah Sadeshin points out, based on this Gemara, an important halacha. He says, we see from this Gemara that what if you have, now sometimes you have, unfortunately, sometimes it happens, the Rav needs to put somebody in Cherem. What happens if that could cause the person to say, forget about Yiddishkeit, I'm just going to go Shmadza? We see from this story that Shemra Sadeshin says that's not a problem. The Rav has to do what he has to do. If the people are going to Shmadza, that's not his problem. And the Rambam brings that in Shulchan
Aruch. How do we know that it's not a problem?
Because we see, otherwise Levi wouldn't have mentioned it, or otherwise he would have criticized Rav Achi B'Rav Yoshia. No, but they should have criticized Rav Achi B'Rav Yoshia for putting them in Cherem, whatever. So the Rambam brings this as halacha. However, the Taz disagrees with that. The Taz said, you can't prove that in the story. Maybe Rebbe is only mentioning this whole concept. Again, he's mentioning all these places where they're upsulim. So he wants to mention one more place where they're upsulim. And also this way it substantiates what he thinks. Nothing to do with showing that go ahead and put him in Cherem and don't worry what happens. You should know, just like he's telling them you need to stay away from Birka and you need to stay away from Masgariya and whatever. Same way, stay away from Birya the Sapta. The Shachin term disagrees with the Taz on that. It gets to be a whole, he says that not, he proves that what the Ramah is saying is good, that what the Ramah and the Shurma Tadeshin are saying is correct, that you don't have to worry about it. So, practically speaking, the Machalokas Achronim, the Machalokas Achronim on the subject. We know, in that connection, there's a famous story with the Alter Rebbe and his Chaverim, the Talmudim of the Mezuzah Magid, where after, when the Mesnagdim had put them in Chayrim, talked to Shlomo Beis, where they wanted to retaliate and put the Mesnagdim in Chayrim, and the Alter Rebbe talked them out of that, similar to this, because he said, you put somebody in Chayrim, you're cutting them off from the Eivishter, it may cause them to Shmadzach, and it would create a Chilul Hashem if these great Talmud Chachamim, these great leaders among the Mesnagdim would end up Shmadzach. So evidently, then, in that regard, the Rebbe held more like the Taz. Held more like the Taz, and not like the Ramah in that regard.
The other story we have with Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nachman, he also put him in Chayim very.
But he put him in Chayim. But afterwards, maybe he was master. He was master of Chayim. Fine. I mean, the main thing is he didn't say that. But the point actually, the Torah shouldn't say there that it has to be, because otherwise, how could he afterwards judge him and declare him an Eved? Once you put him in Chayim, it's like you're his enemy. You have no right to be judging him anymore.
You cannot say that he's an Eved.
You're not an unbiased party anymore. Okay. Anyway. Okay. Next, Rebbe continues. Now on more happier things. Akra de Agma Ikra Bava was a place in Bava called Akra de Agma. Adaba Ava Yeshba, there's somebody in it named Adaba Ava. Hayom Yosha Bechaika Shal Avraham. Today he is sitting in Avraham's lap. What does it mean sitting in Avraham's lap? There actually has two possibilities. One is it means he passed away today. In which case, now we know the Rav Adaba Ava was mentioned in various places in Shas. If he passed away in Rebbe's times, and Rebbe's at the end of the time of the Tanoim, obviously Rashi says it's not the same one. Or the other possibility, Rashi says, is Yoshev Chayka Shal Avraham can mean that today he's having his bris. In which case, maybe it is the same one. In which case, maybe he is the same one. The Rav Adaba Ava that we find in the Gemara was in the time, Tosus points out, was in the times of Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. We find him active about 100 years later. So fine, he may have had a riches yom. Also, Rebbe said, continuing with the Nevuah, Hayom Nolad Rabbi Yehuda B'Bavel. Rabbi Yehuda was born today in Bavel. Rabbi Yehuda, the famous Amora. This is the same Rabbi Yehuda from the other day. Yeah. The Amamar, because we learn in a Braisa, Kemes Rabbi Akiva Nolad Rebbe. When Rabbi Akiva died, Rebbe was born. Kemes Rabbi Yehuda Nolad Rabbi Ashi. On the side of here, it brings, and Hagoyes Maram Ranshkur points out that at least this last one, when we say it doesn't necessarily mean on the day that Rava passed away, Rav Ashi was born. In fact, the Rambam lists in his chain of Kabbalah, he says Rav Ashi was a Talmud of Rava. So then the Gemara would have to mean that Rav Ashi was born when Rava was still alive. Like when before Rava passed away, there's already the next tzaddik, the next Gadol Hador ready to take his place. So in that case, it may be the same with many of these other ones. This comes to teach you that a tzaddik does not pass away from the world before the Eved prepares another tzaddik just like it. The sun rises and the sun sets.
Well, we saw it. So we were with Rivka and Sarah.
Yeah.
We don't have to go with...
That's another example, yeah. Okay. So maybe that's why, for example, in the case of Rava and Rav Ashi, maybe it's better to understand that Rav Ashi was already great enough to be a Talmud of Rava at that point. So therefore, yeah, he's already ready to step into his shoes. For example, Adshalei Kavsa Shibsha Shalevi. For example, before Eli's son set, meaning before he passed away, Zorcha Shimshal Shol Shmuel HaRamati, already Shmuel HaRamati, Shmuel, the Shmuel HaNavi, sun began rising and shining. Shenema, V'nera L'kim Terem Yichbe, or Shmuel Sheikha, the Gemara. The Pasuk says, the light of Hashem had not yet gone out, and Shmuel is lying there, and the Pasuk describes how he got his first Nebuah. So, in other words, we're not just saying that it means the light hadn't gone out, or the menorah hadn't gone out yet. We mean it in the metaphorical sense. The light of Eli was still lit when Shmuel got his first nevuah and became and started to become the leader.
So, would our who's the light?
Akasha, I don't know. Maybe we're all expected to be the light. Okay, let's try bringing about that some other time. Pasuk mentioned Siva Hashem LeYakov Siva Tzara. The pasuk in Eicha that goes, Hashem arranged it. Hashem commanded that Yaakov will always have his enemies around him. What does that mean? Rabbi Yehuda Amar, Kugan Human Yolapum Nara. For example, we have that when they were in Eretz Yisrael, the neighboring nations are Ammon and Moab, who always harassed the Jewish people. They were among the bitterest enemies of the Jewish people. And even in Babel, you have, for example, Humania, which we learned at the end of Amud Aleph and Rebbe's statement over there, that Humania is all full of Ammonim, and it's next to Pumnahara, which was a city of Jews. And then, and again, these Ammonim there, these Goyim in Humania, were always harassing the Jews of Pumnahara. So even there, you don't get away. Now talking more about Yuchsin in Babel, and specifically now we're going to get to the matter of Mishon, which we've been talking off and on about Mishon and Psul a bit. So, the Gemara starts out as follows. There's a pasuk in Yechezkel that says, Vayhiki Novi, as Yechezkel says, as I was saying in Nevuah, Uplatyahu ben Benayahu Mes, the Platyahu ben Benayahu was the name of a leader of that time. We'll see in a few lines who he was exactly. He died. Va'efel aponai, so I fell on my face. Va'ezak kol gadol, I screamed out in a loud voice. Va'omer, and I said, Aha, Hashem elokim, whoa, Eibishter, what's going on over here? So Rav Shmuel, Chadam alatova v'chadam alara. So Rav and Shmuel argue. Why was Yechezkel so upset that this Platya ben Benayahu died? Is it for good or is it for bad? Is it, in other words, that Platya was a good guy and therefore Yechezkel is complaining Haytochen and he died so suddenly? Or is he a bad guy and therefore Yechezkel is complaining Haytochen and that he had such a peaceful death?
Say what, peaceful?
The Pasha, if he died suddenly as opposed to having Yisurim or whatever. So, Manda Amalatova, the opinion that says that it was for good, what does it mean? That what does it mean he was a good guy? What happened was the governor of Mishan, again that area in the south, in the extreme south of Iraq, was a son-in-law of Nebuchadnezzar. So after the churban, shalach lei, so the son-in-law sends a message to his shver. Mikula hai shivi daisis loch, look, you know, of all these captives, all these Jewish captives that you brought to yourself from Eretz Yisrael, lo shadrach lon dekoyle, come on. You haven't sent any to come over here to be our servants, to be our slaves. How are you talking? So Boy Le Shadur Le Yisrael, son of Hanessa, was okay. He was going to take some Jews and send them off to Mishan.
I'll follow.
We're talking, I don't know, it's a couple of dozen miles, but I mean, it wouldn't have been such a good thing because, I mean, the centers, the yeshivas that they had set up when Yechonia's Golos had gone, the Chon's people, the Chorosh Vahamaskia had gone into Golos 11 years earlier. They had set up yeshivas in Naharja and Surah and that whole area in central Babel. So first of all, you're not going to be sent all the way to Mishan. It's a, you know, it's the middle of nowhere. They're going to forget about Yiddishkeit.
Mishan is where?
Mishan, again, and Mishan is this area over here, down in the bottom, yeah, over here near the Persian Gulf. Besides that, also Rashi points out the difference is if they're in central Babel, they're directly under Nebuchadnezzar, it's like a more honorable thing. They're slaves of the king personally. Mashenkin, if they're in Mishan, they're like slaves of a slave of the king because he's a subordinate to Nebuchadnezzar.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Were they sending women that they could marry, or
doesn't say. But wait, so Nebuchadnezzar was going to send. Wait. Omalei Platyahu ben Benayahu, however, this Platyahu ben Benayahu says to Nebuchadnezzar, Anand, on the contrary, Anand Hashvinan, we Jews who are Mukhashu, Nekumi Kamach, we should be the ones you keep over here in your presence. So you should have the aristocratic Jews are the ones who are serving you. Ha, over here. The Abdin Nezul Hassan, you want to fulfill what your son-in-law is saying and send people to Mishan, send our slaves. You took all our slaves and all our Avodim Knanim. As well, when you captured Yerushalayim and when you conquered Eretz Yisrael, send the slaves off the Mishan. Let them be the ones to, yeah. So therefore, then that was a good thing. But Amar Navi, so therefore, according to that, the Navi, Yechezkel, saying, Haytachen, Mishal Satova b'Yisrael, Yomos Hatzi Yomov, Haytachen, that somebody who did such a great favor for the Jewish people should die in the middle of the year, so that he could send the Avodim rather than the regular Jews to Mishan, yeah. That's one opinion. Manda Amar L'ra, then the other opinion that says that That's why Yechezkel was upset that he's saying such a good guy, Haytochen, and he died so suddenly at a young age. Mandram al-Ra, Dichtiv, what about the opinion that says that Yechezkel was upset that such a Rasha should have such an easy death? What happened? Dichtiv. The Pasuk says, Vatove Oisiel Shar Beit Hashem HaKadmoni, Aponi Kadima. Yechezkel says that it, meaning a wind from Hashem, brought me to the eastern gate of the Beit Hamikdash, Aponi Kadima, the gate that faces east. There are 25 people standing over there at the entrance to the gate. I saw among them, I recognized among them, there are two leaders of the people, Yazania and Platyahu. Okay, so we've established that Platyahu, Yazania we don't know anything more about. The point is we established from that Platyahu was a leader. Uchtiv. Now you have an earlier pasuk that mentions Vayavi Osi El Chosav El Chasav Et Hashem Apnimit. Yechezkel says that he brought me to the inner chaser of the Beis Hamikdash, to the Ezra Sisrael, in other words. V'hine Pesach Heichal Hashem, and there I saw at the entrance to the Heichal, Beina Ulam Veina Mizbeach, and the area between the Ulam and the Mizbeach, which has a high level of Kedusha. Esther Machamisha Ish, there were about 25 people, and Marsha points out it's the same number, 25, as in the other pasuk. Therefore, the Gemara is assuming that it was the same group. Achareyam al Heichal Hashem upneim kevim. It was Kestrim, he was there. Yeah, okay, so there was 25, it was about 25. It's basically the same group, maybe one or two people now. Okay. And the pasuk continues, Achareyam al Heichal Hashem, they had their backs facing towards the Heichal, upneim kevim, and their faces are facing towards the east. Now, obviously, if they're facing east and they're standing between the Ulam and the Mizbeach, then necessarily their backs are to the west, towards the Heichal. What's the point of mentioning that? So what does it mean by mentioning that their backs were towards the Heichal? It teaches us that they were uncovering themselves, they were pulling down their pants, and they were going to the bathroom there, so to speak, against the Eidish there, like they're as if like they're standing over there and worshiping Pa'ur in front of the Beis Mikdash, and bowing east towards the sun.
This is when the Beis Mikdash was still standing?
This is when the Beis Mikdash was still standing, yeah. This is the first one. This is towards the end of the first one. Yeah, the Mishneh Tzoka mentions this, in fact, that when they were walking towards the eastern gate, the same eastern gate that Yechezkel mentioned before, when they were walking over there to go out to draw the water from the Nitzach HaMayim, they would turn around and say, we're not like those guys. They used to face away from the Heichal and bow towards the sun and insult the Eivishter, but we are looking to the Eivishter.
That's when we were talking about the distance between Yerushalayim and Yericho.
No, that was something else. That was something else, yeah. Okay, so therefore, according to that, the Ka'amar Navi, so now the Navi is saying, Misha Asa Hara, Zeis Yisrael, somebody who did such a terrible thing among the Jewish people, Yomu Samatasa, should he die peacefully on his bed? Okay, now on his bed, literally, the Pasuk is saying that as he's saying the Nebuah, this Pratya dropped dead, but still he dropped dead suddenly without any Surim or anything. So which one said which? We said Rav and Shmuel argued on this. Is Plati a good guy or a bad guy? Which one said which? Chistayim, we can prove to Shmuel de Amal Ra that it's Shmuel who said that he was a bad guy. Why? Because if we say that Plati was a good guy, it's because he advised Nebuchadnezzar to send all the Avodim to Misha. Which would mean, therefore, that we know it's a given that the people of Misha of Sula Yichus. If we say that Sula Yichus, because of their Avodim, then that would support that version of the story, and it would mean that Plati was a good guy. However, the Amr of Chiyah Ba'avin Amashmu, Mushkini Harei Kegoyla Liyuchsim. Okay, Mushkini is like a Goyla as far as Yuchsim. We said that on Amr Aleph. And what about Mishun? Loi Choshula, Loi Mishun. No, Mishun, yeah, Mishun, Mishan, yeah, two different ways of pronouncing the same word, yeah. Loi Choshula, Loi Mishun Abdus, Loi Mishun Amzerus. There's no concern as far as Yuchsim where they are not that the people are Avadim, who are also to intermarry with Jews, and not because of Mamzeros. Ella, well, the only problem is Koyanim Shahayu Bolei Pidrala Grushes. So the Koyanim who lived in Mishan weren't careful about who they're marrying. They would marry divorced women. In other words, Shmuel was saying, according to this, that the only problem with Mishan is that there were halalim over there. Not Avadim, not Mamzeros.
That's not his fault.
The point is, therefore, if Shmuel is saying the problem with Mishan is not Avdus, is not Avadim, then it means he disagrees with that story about Platya and Nebuchadnezzar. It means he disagrees that Platya was a good guy.
Why?
Necessarily, well, because then the whole story doesn't begin. Then it means that Avadim were never sent to Mishan in the first place. If Avadim weren't sent to Mishan, then the only thing left is you can't say that Yechezkel was so upset, Platya did such a great thing, how you talk and he dies young, because he didn't do such a great thing.
Platya knew that they were to send the Avadim where they were already suing.
No. Before there were Jews there, there's no psulim at all. The whole place is going, just like the rest of Babel. Okay. The Gemara says not necessarily. No, because you could still say that Shmuel holds that Platya was good, and that the Avodim were really sent there. Shmuel is saying there's no concern of Abdus in Mishan nowadays. Well, Shmuel, the time is, Shmuel could be going according to his own Shitta. He says that if somebody declares his Eved Hefker, then automatically he goes free. The ain't Tzarech Get Shichur. He doesn't even need a Get Shichur to make him officially free and able to marry a Bat Yisrael. Shenema, the pasuk says, called Eved Ishmik Naskasif, as it says, any Eved of a person who's bought with money. What do you mean, Eved Ish, V'loy Eved Ish? Or what's the point of mentioning Ish? Would the same gene as far as Korban Pesach wouldn't apply to an Eved of a woman? Ella, what it means is Eved Shiesh Lo L'Rabbi Rishus Olav Kori Eved. An Eved who is master is still an ish relative to him. He still has Rishus over him. Kori Eved is called an Eved. Eved Shein L'Rabbi Rishus Olav Ein Kori Eved. So therefore, what does he mean? Well, in other words, no, because we discussed in Gifted. The question is he free? Maybe he's free. Maybe he's de facto free. But maybe he still needs, maybe de jure. Maybe he still needs to get Shechru. Now, if...
Not according to Shmuel.
That's what we're saying. So therefore, we could say, Shmuel could be saying that, yes, hundreds of years earlier, Plasya convinced Nebuchadnezzar to send the Avodim to Mishan. However, once the Avodim are sent there, and they're under the son-in-law's control, they're the Jews in Babel proper don't have control over them anymore, of necessity, they were master them, they had no choice. Well, then automatically they went free. Fine, they're kosher. They can marry Bnei Yisrael, and there's no problem with Abbas there. So you still could say that Shmuel is saying that Plakia convinced the Nebuchadnezzar to send the Avodim there, and it still doesn't contradict this that he said that there's no problem of Abbas over there.
He was saying it wasn't good because what? Because
we thought that he's saying Plakia is no good because by elimination. If he didn't tell him to send the Avodim over there, then it must mean that he says that it must mean that Plakia died, that he was one of those 25 guys who were insulting the Avish there, and therefore he died in Yechezkel. Upset.
He was saying
not necessarily. He could have been the one to advise. It could be that Shmuel agrees with the story. He did convince Nebuchadnezzar to send the Avodim there. But once they're sent there, they're Hefker. They're no longer Avodim. They're de facto and de jure. They're considered Bnei Chorin. Therefore, there's no problem of Yochsin with them anymore. No, they, well, before that, they would have been considered Avodim Knanim. They're not allowed to marry by a Bas Yisrael. No, they're free. They're full fledged.
But then
they can be the Avodim. Fine. But think of it this way. If a full fledged Yid, if a born Yid goes and ends up being taken captive by Goyim, he doesn't become Ois Yid. The same thing over here. These Avodim Knanim, once they become the Shechrarim from the point of view of the original owners, doesn't matter what happens to them after that. They're working for Goyim? Okay, they're working for Goyim. Doesn't change their status. Yes, exactly. All of this that we've been saying all this time, this whole concept that we've been saying that Babel automatically has Yuchsin. Eretz Yisrael less so, and the other countries even less so. All of this is only according to the mayor. The Chachamim say that no, all lands have a cheskes kashrus when you want to marry somebody, regardless of what country they come from, unless you have reason to know that there's any psul in their family, you can assume that they're kosher and you can go and marry them. Okay. And the Gemara tells in that connection, Amemer shorta leilat Rav Huna bar Nosson, the mince of itza mechuz yasa. Amemer gave Rav Huna bar Nosson a heter to marry a woman from mechuzza, which mechuzza. Mechuzah is in Iraq, but it's outside of the areas that we were talking about.
Mechuzah exists today.
Mechuzah doesn't, no, not, we...
Town of Mechuzah, yeah.
Where's their town of Mechuzah nowadays? I've never heard of it.
Main Muscle.
That's way up north. I don't know. That's not the same one.
It's not the same one.
No, the Mechuzah that we're talking about is in central Babel, not somewhat south of Baghdad. But anyway... Actually, I've seen a different explanation. Maybe it's not Mechuz Yosa, because Mechuz may well have been inside the area of Babel, but rather it's from Chozoi. Chozoi, we talked about yesterday or the day before, is the area of southwestern Iran, which is back outside this area. Whatever it is. Anyway, whatever it is, Amemer gave him a heter to marry from there. Omele Ravashi, my digest. Ravashi says, what are you thinking? You're arguing that you have this machlokas, and therefore the halacha should be like the chachamim. But in the yeshiva of Kahana, they didn't learn like that. They learned that everybody holds that only Bavel has fully kosher yochsin, and everywhere else he needs to check. And they don't learn like that in the yeshiva of Papa. You have to have some authority who says it's a chachamim. That's the question. Nevertheless, Amemer did not accept what Rabashi objected. Because we said that there's two Rav Zvid. There's a Rav Zvid Stam, and there's a Rav Zvid Minahada. Amemer heard this concept that there's a machlokas of a mayor and a chachamim from a Zvid of Nahada, and therefore he said that he's a Bar Samcha, I can rely on him, and therefore I can give Rav Huna bar Nosson this permission.
And he's considered a chachamim.
No. Rav Zvid Minahada is an Amora.
No.
But Rav Zvid Minahada reported that there was this machlokas of mayor and the chachamim, and that the chachamim holds Kol HaRotz, the Cheskes Kasher, they named it. So even though Rav Ashi is telling him the other yeshivas in Babel don't learn it like that,
right.
But Rav Zvid Minahada did learn it that way, Sam Meimah says that's good enough for me.
It doesn't say who the Chachamim were holding.
No, it means the Chachamim who disagree with Rameir. It means the Chachamim of Rameir's generation. But we're saying now, a couple hundred years later, Rav Zvid Ben Hadar had his tradition that day. So it's interesting, actually, the Tur and his father, the Rosh, disagree on the actual halacha over here. What is in the end the din? Can you just marry somebody without checking into their kashrus or not? Based on this Gemara over here. Do we say the halacha is like a meimah, because the Gemara finishes off that after all, he had what to rely on? Or maybe Rav Ashi outlived a meimah, he was the next generation. Maybe you would usually say the halacha is like a later generation. So maybe the halacha should be like that. So maybe, a meimah is the one who's saying they all have a chesed status. Rav Ashi is arguing with that. Maybe the halacha should be like Rav Ashi. So it's one of those interesting cases
where the Rosh
and his son, the Tur, argue with each other on it.
The halacha,
you'd have to look in Shulchan Aruch, I don't remember. I think the halacha is in general it's okay as long as there's no reason for suspicion. Yeah.
We're talking about checking for
No, this is before you even check the family. This is talking about, do they have a cheskes kashrus to begin with?
You say they have a cheskes kashrus if there's nothing suspicious.
If there's nothing suspicious, if you know, if you have reason to suspect that there's a mamzer or nothing or what have you, mixed, but then you have to start checking. Yeah, but otherwise by default not. Right.
And that's possibly the halacha.
So I think that's how it says in Shulchan Aruch, but I don't remember for sure.
Could you check?
Yeah, I'll go downstairs. We'll check.